Hello, everybody. It's episode number 154 of the Vookcast. Yes, cool. I got that one right. We've been away a while because I've been moving states. Sorry about that. But we're back. Hello. Hooray. So I'm Stephen, if you don't remember who I am because it's been so long. With me also is Daniel. How are you?
I'm not hosting this week. I'm happy about that.
Oh, yeah. I did listen to that.
Good How work. Bad was I?
It was fine.
I did a horrible job explaining bloody Mega Man, or whatever it was.
Troy's here too. Hello.
Yay, am I editing?
No, I'm... Well, I mean, you're more than welcome to. I don't
You're the backbone of this podcast. Never leave again.
Yeah, apparently. Thank you.
We missed you.
It's nice to be appreciated. Yeah, so I'm back, so the podcast is good again, I guess. That came out wrong. Hello. now I need to remember
Thanks
how podcasts work.
Last
yeah, so last news and things have happened, so we'll talk about those, like is the usual thing that we do. Today, or earlier on today, there are a whole bunch of financial-related bits and pieces to come out that I've barely been able to understand beyond Nintendo sold lots of Switches and video games. Were there any particularly cool things that you guys had picked out of the financial stuff?
They sold almost 1 million 3DSs this quarter. Who's still buying those things?
Kids.
Parents.
Although the new... this would be... Because it's up to the end of June, which I think the new 2DS came out after that. I mean, you know, it's like the... The sort of sales numbers are kind of interesting, just how much Switches they've been able to sell all up. They managed to do 4.7 million Switches, which is, I think, what March, April, May. So that's sort of like 3-4 months on the market.
I mean, I'd make the distinction that it's units shipped, but considering nobody can find anywhere that's as good as sold.
Anywhere but Australia, yeah.
Man, those pictures Vuk's posting on his Twitter of the people, like there, people are lining up just for the chance to enter a lottery to buy one, and it's just all kinds of depressing.
Yeah, I saw those photos of like, we have lots of copies of Splatoon, but nothing to play it on. Sorry.
I'm going to Japan in like 8 weeks. If anyone over there is interested, let me know, and I'll see if I can work something out.
Just grey import a bunch of Australian Switches.
Well, I don't even want to make a profit. I just want to help people out, as long as they pay me to pick.
Well, someone posted a picture the other day on the Discord. It was a Japanese businessman, I think it was, in a EB Games with the luggage just full of Switches from EB Games.
Wow,
just bringing them back.
I was reading the story about this guy dragged his wife and his 3-year-old daughter to a lottery just so he'd have another 2 chances to win one.
Wow.
It's getting dire. It's like a Russian food line. People just try, can I have a Switch, please?
Not Switch for you.
Laughed at that.
even saying that, the Switch still did quite well in Japan. They sold 1.12 million units just in Japan, which is, for what's a small country is, well, I guess population wasn't that small, but, that's kind of impressive.
It's a lot.
Game sales.
America was 1.9, I think.
Yeah.
1.95 million.
Other regions, which we're included of, because we're not important.
We're just
Yeah, it's 1.6. I would be interested to know how it's actually done in Australia. Like, when, Splatoon was out on Friday. I noticed a lot of people in EB going in to buy Splatoon. So,
and I saw a lot of people buying Switches for Splatoon as well. Yeah. Obviously, that's not included anywhere in this number, but it would be interesting to see how much of a bump Splatoon made.
But, Stephen, you asked me, what is a system without games? Well, I'll tell you, the games for the Switch, they did quite well too. Breath of the Wild sold 3.92 million units. Mario Kart Deluxe, 3.54, 1-2 Switch, 1.2, and ARMS got 1.1. And, like, ARMS, that's only a month on the market. Like, not even that.
Just kind of in shock that you asked yourself my question with your own mouth and then answered it. Yes.
I'm proud of that myself. But yeah, that would have only been like 2 weeks or so on the market for ARMS to do that well. And that's a game I was worried wasn't going to sell that well because there was a little bit of negative buzz around it about the lack of single player and being a new franchise as well. But then again...
New fighting franchise, apparently. It's impressive.
But people, I think on the Switch, anything will really sell at the moment because people are sort of a bit starved for content. The other two surprising things I have from those numbers, how was Zelda not one-to-one? Like, I am kind of... Who's buying a Switch and not buying Zelda?
Or isn't it anymore? I remember it was more than one-to-one to start with, but I guess it's evened out a little bit.
Well, it's 4.7 Switches to 3.9 Zeldas.
Okay.
So that's almost a million people who don't have the game of the year. And also Mario Kart Deluxe, which is a port of a Wii U game that's already sold, and people probably already have it, that sold 3.5 million units.
I don't know. I think everyone who already had it, like me, were like, this is a great game, I'm going to buy it again. And then there are a lot of people that didn't have it on Wii U, so that's probably a big part of it.
The only other sort of thing I found kind of interesting from this was the profits Nintendo made from the smartphone stuff. Now, I don't know if this is yen or dollars.
But they're such big numbers that they really don't mean much.
So they made $81 million or $81 million whatever.
Currencies.
From smartphone games not named Pokemon Go. So that's Miitomo, because that's still a thing. Mario and Fire Emblem Heroes, which apparently is doing gangbusters for them. That's doing really well, which is a shame that the whole...
Gacha games do that.
Yeah, they sure do.
I'm so happy the Switch is doing well because we could be going down a really dark timeline right now.
Nintendo could just be 100% gacha waifus all the time.
I love Fire Emblem. I haven't even touched Heroes. I've played like for 5 minutes. I'm like, oh, cool. Okay. And Pokemon, and they made 29.4 million currencies from Pokemon Go. Now they don't get like the full take of that because Pokemon Company and Niantic get part of it. So that's cool that they're, you know, for a Nintendo party that's doomed, that they're doomed, but with a lot of money.
Well, that kind of does segue quite nicely into Pokemon Go Fest, which happened very recently and was very eventful, wasn't it, Troy?
It was very awkward to watch. So I watched parts of it live. I could only take so much.
Yeah, I watched John Hankey took the stage.
John Hankey took the stage and was getting booed. Someone threw a water bottle at one of the hosts.
What? John Hankey is like CEO of Niantic?
Wow. Yeah, he's the head of Niantic.
Throwing stuff?
My favorite part was when they were doing different camera shots in between the announcements of just people playing the game. And they were showing people playing on their phone and they couldn't get the Pokemon Go Plus to connect or the game locked up when they were feeding berries.
Just imagine the amount of Bluetooth traffic going between every one of those thousands of people having Pokemon Go Pluses. Like, oh, what a mess that must be.
So overall, it was kind of deemed a failure. Niantic did offer refunds and $100 worth of Pokecoins to each person who you attended.
Which is kind of fair because a lot of people traveled interstate, intercountry, internationally to like go to this massive Pokemon event, and then they got there and the mobile networks were crushed under the might of their phones.
Yeah, and I'm reading varied reports. People are saying that Niantic did ask all of the mobile carriers going, hey, this is our expected traffic. Are you going to be able to handle that? And they went, yeah, sure.
Our networks are great.
Yeah. Sprint were the only ones that actually drove a cell on wheels, I think it's called. It's just like a cell tower in a truck. And it's usually driven out to events like this, like maybe concerts and
festivals,
gatherings, festivals. Yeah, just to ease the traffic on the permanent towers. And only one company out of like four or five, I think, did that. So,
and that was the only one that people could actually play successfully on by the sounds of things.
Yeah, and I think they were actually partnered with Niantic to host the event. So,
that
probably was in their best interest to have good coverage for the name that's printed all over the banners.
If they'd fallen over, we'd have even more issues.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this whole event that was coincided with the new legendaries or the legendary raids or something, from what I understand.
Yeah. So the way it was meant to go is that people in the park had to catch specific types of Pokemon to earn bonuses. People outside the event had to catch Pokemon to determine how long those bonuses lasted for.
Okay.
And if they went to a certain point, then that would unlock the Mystery Challenge, which was meant to be a legendary raid. But they didn't really bother.
Yeah.
They just gave everybody a Lugia.
Oh, nice.
Everyone at the event, that is. And then they expanded the boundaries of the event to like 2 blocks outwards, 2 miles outwards. So people are going all over Chicago after the event and trying out the new legendary raids, which is Lugia and at the moment Articuno.
So how do the raids work? From what I understand, is it like cooperative battling or something?
Yeah, so you get put into a room with about 19 other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, or up to 19, so 20 per room, and you battle a really powerful Pokemon that's basically got its HP stat maxed out.
Okay.
So, but they do have higher attack and defense as well, I think. There's a lot of numbers involved. I haven't really looked into it.
It's a really difficult fight.
Yeah. So 1-star raids can be like Magikarp and stuff, but the 5-star raids are your legendary ones, and managed to do one in my neighborhood, and about 30 people showed up. It was kind of amazing. Wow.
That's
it felt like
cool.
Day one again.
Yeah, I guess that would be a good way to, like, you're never going to get your thousands of people converging on the city again, but getting at least, you know, a group of people to go there at the same time somewhat spontaneously is still kind of cool.
Yeah, and we beat the Lugia, and it was really hard to catch. So I still haven't got any legendary Pokemon.
Oh, that's a shame.
But it looks like they're doing it week by week. So because Mystic performed the best at Pokemon Go Fest, Articuno is first, and then Moltres is next week, and then Zapdos after that, and they'll probably cycle them in and out depending on events and stuff that they're doing.
Okay. Cool. So I guess that's Pokemon Go, the update for this period of time. Yeah, so further on in newsy sort of stuff, we found out what the Amiibo are going to be doing for Metroid Samus Returns, which is kind of interesting. That game's coming out so soon. It still blows my mind that it's in September and it's not like very far away.
It's like a month and a half away?
Yeah, like we're getting a new Metroid game and it's hopefully good, I hope.
That game, so it comes out like almost 2 weeks before I fly out. And
plain
because
game.
But because I get my stuff from Japan, it's like, I'm sorry, from America, I'm like, I hope it arrives in time. That would be the perfect game to play on the plane.
Yeah, it would be great as a plane game. But would you bring your Amiibo on the plane?
Yes.
Cool, because if you bring your Samus Amiibo, it will unlock.
What's this blob thing going through, like the security check? And I need my Amiibos, don't take them away from me.
Excuse me, is that a bomb? But
I'm
yeah,
take them away. The baby.
I won't go through all the details because you can read those on the site. But yeah, like there's things that'll unlock different amiibo, will unlock different difficulty modes. Little hint thingies, like one that tells you where the nearest Metroid is, which seems kind of like a thing that should just be in the game. But okay, cool. Extra missile tanks, extra energy tanks, sound test modes, concept art galleries. It's cool stuff, I guess, that you unlock, but it does seem weird to me that they're locked, assumedly, behind Amiibo.
Well, they want you to buy them. Is there, do any of the Amiibos give you, like, different colours for your mech suit?
Not according, don't know. I know where this is going, and I need to stop right here. This train is pulling into the station and being decommissioned.
But I almost got you, and almost. That's the bit I'm proud of.
So
the
yeah,
fact that you realised halfway through is what made it even more satisfying, honestly.
No, so to answer your question, no, but that's fine. Don't bamboozle me. But yeah, there's not really much more to it. I guess you need to buy Amiibo if you want the sound test and concept art gallery or a hard difficulty mode for the Return of Samus.
Hard mode would actually be quite good, though.
Well, it's called Fusion Difficulty, which I assume is a hard mode because it's only available after you finish the game. So that could be fun.
I know I joke about the different colours, but, like, Oh, if you could unlock like the fusion suit, or you know, yes, like the different.
I saw fusion difficulty mode. I'm like, if this lets me play as fusion suit Samus, yes, please.
Or like the ones from Prime.
Yeah.
Two, whatever.
But probably not.
I should finish Prime 2 and 3.
I should finish Prime 3. Anyway, until...
It's a shame we don't do a thing called a Vuk's Classic Reviews or whatever.
That's a different acronym, but it still kind of works, I guess.
What was it? VC?
It was Vuk's Critical Retrospective.
Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome. So yeah, that's what Amiibo do. Go buy them if you want. And even if you have regular Samus from Smash Bros, you have to buy the other one because it unlocks different stuff now. But yeah, I guess to round out the news for the moment, there's been a couple of games that have been announced. So 90s Arcade Racer, that's been a while and a fun story up until now.
God bless Nicalis. You give Vuk so much anger.
But, I mean, there's some light at the end of the tunnel. That's still coming. It's got a new name and it's coming to Switch. So apparently it's going to be 90s Super GP. I don't know what else has changed about it, if anything. But I want it when it comes out. I want it to exist. I'm just kind of hoping this is real. But, yeah, also Overcooked is coming to the Switch as well, which is nice. That's a really good fun game.
I have played that. It's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I've played it on PS4, but I can imagine it would be perfect for, hey, I'm putting my Switch down. You take a Joy-Con, I take a Joy-Con, let's cook some dishes.
And yell at each other.
In public.
And so that's this week at the time of recording, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Troy would know.
So we got
it's not in the eShop listed as coming soon yet, but it's coming probably 11 p.m. Eastern time Thursday.
So we've got that. Oh, cool. And
there's Namco the Jackbox games. Oh yeah, Namco as well. Is that this week?
Namco is this week. Yep.
Oh cool.
Fate Extella is also out, but no physical release here. So
interesting.
We're getting very few physical releases of these sort of niche games.
Yeah, I guess they're ones that might not sell enough to justify a full print run, and maybe it has something to do with the apparently expensive cost of getting Switch stuff printed.
And end of the day, it's region free. So I mean, if you're a nutter like me and you want the physical copy, like just import from Amazon.
You have ways.
I've got so many games on order from Amazon. It's like 30 Switch games.
And speaking of games, all the previous Jackbox Party Pack games, so I think we got Volume 3 like close to launch, but the first two volumes weren't anywhere. And yeah, those are all coming to the Switch as well, so you'll be able to play all of the Quiplash. It's anywhere, yeah, anytime.
Quiplash is the best one.
It is. It absolutely is. Were there any other announcements that I've missed as far as game launches?
There was that Lost Sphere game.
Oh, yeah. What is that? I've seen the name, but not much else. Does anyone know anything about it?
I haven't looked into it. It's coming out in January next year, so I don't want to get excited for a game.
It's from the Tokyo RPG Factory.
It is. Oh, that's like the I Am Setsuna people.
Yes, yes. Yep. So along the same lines of that, the only game date announcement I can think of is Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah, the 22nd of September. Same day as Pokken for some stupid reason.
Do you know what? Rayman Legends Definitive Edition.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a demo, and then it got pulled.
Oh, yeah. So.
Oh, so the demo wasn't meant to go up.
No, I think I saw a tweet come up from Ubisoft earlier today. Maybe it's like Definitive Edition coming soon and the demo will be available later in the summer. I'm like, ooh, someone pressed the button a bit early, clearly.
Please delete the demo if you've downloaded it.
Please. Yeah, please. I mean, even though it's a game that's literally been out for what? It was a launch game almost for the Wii U, so it's not like they're spoiling anything.
There'll be embargoes on the review for story spoilers. Can't talk about this.
Probably. But yeah, so Rayman Legends Definitive Edition, if you haven't played it, or even if you have played it, you will be able to play it on your Switch, so that's really cool. So I guess that's probably it for news. We'll have a quick break and jump back with all the video games we've been playing in the last little while. Hey, welcome back. We're going to talk about the games we've been playing now. So, to kick us all off like a game of football, the first game on the list is Ever Oasis, which I feel like we have someone on this podcast who has been a bit of a cheerleader for Ever Oasis. Is that, that might be you, Daniel?
Yes, it is me. So Ever Oasis, it's a 3DS game that came out. That's still a thing. Nintendo wants you to remember that there are still plenty of 3DS games, and the Switch is definitely not a handheld system first and foremost, because that's what the 3DS is, and
yeah, they wouldn't want to
compete with the 3DS at all. So yeah, look, I am Secret of Mana. I don't know if I've gone and...
You are Secret of Mana? Holy moly.
Shut up.
Did they chop you up to make the cartridges?
I have both missed you and not missed you right now. So I loved Secret of Mana. It was my one of those defining games of my childhood that's like, oh yes, I like video games. Give me more of this. Now, this game's headed by Koichi Ishii, who is in charge of Grezzo, who've done all the Zelda remakes, the Flower game on the...
Like the Plaza. PlayStation? Oh, right. No.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did Secret of Mana and all them. So then this got announced as, hey, you get to make your own sort of thing now. And, oh, it's a action RPG thing. And I'm like, oh, if I was wearing a hat, it would have just flown off. And then, oh, yeah, the ventilation's gone faulty.
Do you often wear hats?
No.
Huh, that's
a shame. I used to wear bucket hats in my youth.
Well, that's a fact that I didn't know we'd be revealing, but I'm glad that we did.
Add it to the wiki.
Yes.
Oh, can someone please start a Vox wiki for us?
Oh, my word. Ever Oasis.
Yeah. So, you know, I was really excited about it. The game's out now. It's sort of like... I should write what I want to say before I say it. It's only about 3 or 4 hours into it so far.
What are the interesting things about it?
So you're like a seedling, and you all sort of live in this desert, in these oases, and then there's this evil force called Chaos, which is destroying them, and your brother is like the chief of the oasis, and then your oasis gets attacked, so he throws you away, and then you land at this new oasis, and then you sort of have to start like a whole community up around that, and go out on adventures, and... blah.
Okay.
So yeah, that's a sort of basic plot. Like, you got this water spirit, you and her rebuild this town, encourage more people to move to the town, which will make your oasis grow powerful, which will help you explore other areas and all that. There is sort of like a little bit of a town building part to it.
Okay.
As new travelers come to your town, they'll go, hey, if you could get me 3 of these things, or if you could go out to the desert to kill those things that beat me up, I will stay in your town. And then they do. And then it's like, okay, I want to open up a shop. And doing that will bring more visitors to your village, which will give you more, they're called dudums, I think. And that's sort of your currency, which you can use to buy upgrades for your items or purchase new shops or like, plant seeds, which you'll need to grow items to restock your shops.
Okay.
So there is sort of like this little side, you know, town management part to it. But then there is also like the action adventure-y sort of exploring dungeons and the overworld part. The overworld, it's, you know, it's your basic sort of almost Zelda-y. Like, there's a Z lock-on thing. You've got your roll, your heavy attack, your light attack. But yeah, I mean, I'm only 3 hours into it, like 3-4 hours, and it's still kind of very basic at the moment.
Okay.
I haven't unlocked. There looks like that there are combos that you can unlock, but I haven't unlocked much to begin with yet. You do like at the start, it's just your little seedling character, but then you'll gain extra characters to follow you around, and you can have like a party of 3, and you'll switch between them, and they'll all have like their different weapons. Like, I've got this, this tall character. I don't know what race she is, but she's got a spear, and the spear's better against snakes, and can also be used to help in certain puzzles in the dungeons. And that's sort of the other bit. The dungeons are very Zelda-y, like very, very, like, you know, each room will sort of require you to solve a little mini puzzle to sort of unlock a door, to get a key, to open up this other part of the dungeon, and then there'll be like a big end boss.
Okay, that's nice. I don't really have much to say, but yeah, sounds pleasant.
So yeah, look, I'm really enjoying it. My few gripes are, I don't know, I was kind of expecting a bit more, just because, again, I love Secret of Mana so much, and like the story, it's fun, but it's not like, I don't know, but even then, Secret of Mana's story wasn't, you know, it's like, oh, you've pulled the magic sword, you shouldn't have done that, get out of our town.
Adventure time.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, it's sort of a nice, super harmless game. It's gorgeous. It just looks beautiful on the 3D, on the 3DS, and yeah, great soundtrack. Because it's all set in a desert, it's very sort of Egyptian themed, like the music sort of.
I noticed that in the trailers.
Egyptian. Yeah. Again, I'm only in the first area, so hopefully as I explore further out, I'll find other sort of maybe different, like non-desert places. But then the whole story is you're all in the middle of a big desert.
It's all about having, like, the seedlings need water, and for that reason they're around an oasis and stuff.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what the actual the story is, because like there's like one of the dungeons is like, oh, that's the pot dungeon, because it's got like a big pot that, like a big huge sort of vase that's fallen over, and I'm like, oh, hang on, so are these all like little tiny people, but like, you know, sort of like Pikmin, you know, living in a world of in the middle of the desert. So,
okay.
My only big gripe about it is like, I wish this was on the Switch.
I That's really a standard gripe about Switch. Literally everything at the moment.
I kind of feel like it's been sent to die on the 3DS, because like Vuk was telling me, like the sales numbers that he's heard from it aren't that good. It's like, you know, no one's paying any attention to it. And I just feel on the Switch, like, it would have gotten a bit more notice. And also, they could have done more of the game. Like, the overworld's cool and all, but it does feel a bit empty.
And I guess with more resources on the Switch, they could probably fill it out a little bit more, and maybe also have a bit more of a budget if it's on a system that it might perceivably sell more.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I look at this or Tank Troopers or that Mario Sports game, and I'm like, those are three games that should have been on the Switch. There was no need for any of them on the 3DS.
One thing I want to know, it's something that's come up with you with the idea of handheld-y feeling games that you've struggled to really describe. Yeah, is this one of those?
Yeah, without a doubt. It's, you know, it feels like a... I think when I say handheld-y, I just want RPGs, because there isn't any on the Switch at the moment. Outside of Disgaea, but I've talked to you about my grievances about that. I don't know. I think this would be like... just a fun sort of 20-hour adventure to play on the Switch or 3DS. My other problem with it, though, is it's for what it is, it's fun, but then it's like I'm sort of getting a lot of just because it's an action-adventure RPG.
Yeah.
But so was Fantasy Life, and I think Fantasy Life is a much better game than this.
Okay.
But then I've already played Fantasy Life, so it's sort of a moot point.
But I guess if you haven't, that's probably cheaper and better by the sounds of things.
Oh, yeah. And Fantasy Life has got online play. This doesn't, which is strange for a party of three. There's no multiplayer. You're just switching between your little characters. Like, going for the dungeons is a lot like... have you played Lost Vikings?
Yeah. Actually, when you said different characters with different abilities that help you through dungeons, that's immediately what I thought of.
So like, I've got my character with the spear, and what she can use the spear for, she can either, like, lever up heavy objects or use it to sort of reach hooks high up. Or I've got this other character who can turn into, like, a little ball and go through, like, tunnels and holes to unlock other areas. And then my main character has a special gust sort of ability he can do, which can blow away sand or, like, make, like, switches spin around and all that. So, like, the whole dungeon... like, for someone who really likes the puzzle solving of Zelda dungeons, this is great.
That's cool. So,
yeah, I really like it. If you're looking for a good 3DS game, yeah, it's good. Yes, it is one of many we're getting this year, and
including one
that's coming out soon that just got a demo.
That is Troy? Also kind of looks like it has the dungeony RPG-ish aspect. Yeah, you've played Miitopia, I hear, Troy.
Just the demo, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. I haven't played the demo. Daniel hasn't played the demo. What did you think of the demo?
It went from... It made me go from, eh, this game looks average, to I need to get this as soon as I can.
Okay. How did
I was
that
really,
happen?
Really surprised. It's just really, really fun. It's basically Tomodachi Life mixed with that Street Pass game on the 3DS where you had to rescue yourself.
Okay, Street Pass Quest.
Find me. Find me.
So, get find out of me, here, yeah. America boy.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah. That is the, sorry, random tangent, but that's what I'm about. That is the stupidest thing that they could like have different names for different reasons for those games.
Street Class Quest is better, but Miitopia is better than that, apparently.
Yeah, I really was not expecting it. The game style is basically turn-based. It's almost like, I think I like it because it's almost like Persona.
That's a big comparison to make.
It's like Persona Lite, where your teammates can kind of interact with each other instead of just do this attack. You can do things like body block. You know, one of them's about to get attacked. If you've got the friendship level high enough, they'll start like doing the get down, Mr. President type thing.
Ah, where, interesting. That's cool.
But it's also things like... there are times where my character's just like zoned out in the middle of nowhere, and one of my friends, because it's me's,
yeah,
would be like, "Hey, Stu, look out!" And then I dodge an attack because they warned me.
Huh. Cool.
It's stuff like that, and it's really fun and interactive in that sense, because you'll get checkpoints when you're going through levels that are like inns and stuff, and that's where you kind of build up the friendship level of your party. And the friendship level, the higher they are, the more interactions that they can do with each other. So it's like the social links in Persona in that regard. Mm.
And I guess kind of like Tomodachi Life, I imagine that it's going to be one of those games where the people that do play it will be sharing screenshots and stuff with friends. It's like, hey, you saved me from a dragon. Thank you, friend. And they'll be like, what the hell are you talking about? And here's your me and Miitopia.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of different interactions. There was one where I was... You can make them stay in different rooms in the inn, and they'll do different interactions. And then there'll be like a friend watching from the window who's jealous.
Okay.
So it's got that Tomodachi sense of humor about
just
it.
It's like goofy me interaction stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But it's got a full blown RPG behind it, where the general gist of it is the main villain, the Dark Lord, who you get to put whoever face you want on it. I made mine Vuk.
Dark Overlord Vuk.
Yeah, like Dark Lord Vuk stole the faces of everybody.
As he does.
In the village, and put them onto the different monsters. So the different monsters you fight will have faces of random Miis that people make, or Miis that you have saved on your 3DS, or whatever. So like my village had, I think, Rosalina as the mother and Mario as her son.
Oh, wow, that's a game Mario's theory. Face,
it's canon.
Yeah, it's official now.
But it was written that Mario got his face stolen and Rosalina was, get my boy Mario's face back. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
And it doesn't take itself seriously at all. It's really hard to really get into. It's just a really, really well-made, fun game.
That's cool. I imagine we'll probably get a bit more into it when it actually comes out and we have more than a short demo to jump into.
It's out this Saturday.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm definitely getting my copy.
Yeah, I guess I should try the demo and use that to work out if I'm buying it.
The demo is like half of the first world.
Okay, so
it's a really big demo. Yeah. And it's free, so...
Out of interest, do we have on the Discord a spot for people to share their Miis so people can scan the QR codes?
Yeah, we have a 3DS channel now. Yeah. A few people asked for it, so we've got a 3DS channel. That'll be where we're going to be sharing all of our QR codes.
There are dozens of us.
Yeah. But yeah, you can scan the QR codes and use them in the game. I had random ones in my game of just, can't remember who they were, but there were, you know, those memes that where the face doesn't look like a normal human face.
Oh,
it looks
yes,
like a,
yeah.
An
like
animal or a
face
character.
Or butthole.
Yeah.
I'm just going to load up all of the Hitlers I can find, all the different Hitlers I can find.
The mayor of the first town I went to was Vegeta from Dragon Ball.
Wow.
Yeah, this is exactly it. Like, everyone's going to have a different one.
That sounds awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's shelve that topic for the moment, and we'll come back to that when the actual game comes out. I've been playing Bulb Boy a little bit. I don't really have too much to say about it. It's one of those games where to really describe anything about beyond sort of mechanically how it plays would kind of spoil a lot of it. But I don't know. I kind of liked it. It's a point-and-click adventure game, except you sort of directly control the character with a stick and tap on things of interest. And yeah, it's sort of got this a really interesting visual style. Everything is in, I don't know if this is an actual word, but like green scale is sort of how I described it. Everything is either sort of on a scale between green and black, and that those are the only colors in the entire game. And
so it's like playing
monochromatic.
The original Game Boy?
Yeah, monochromatic works. And yeah, Game
but
Boy
the,
almost.
The color is green.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, the green achromatic. Yeah, let's just go with monochrome. but yeah, it's very disgusting and almost like a 90s cartoon in how weird and gross out some of the environments are. It doesn't really, I hope it doesn't spoil too much, but there is a scene with a giant turd and yeah, it's just lots of pee and poop and vomiting and just cockroaches and grossness. It's really weird in what were those cards that you would get that would have like glow in the dark, like gross people on them? You might remember, Daniel, because you're old like me.
I think I know what you mean.
Like,
it was like in that same art style as the Whiz Fizz ones.
Come on,
Odd Bods.
Come on.
Yes.
Yeah. That's probably not a very good comparison, but it's the first one that came to mind. It's like weird, gross out '90s sort of visuals. But yeah, sort of that's the main hook to the game, I think, is the aesthetic. It sort of goes all in on that. Everything you do and see and hear is just fully all in on that weird grossness. I mean, it was kind of fun. I didn't really get blown away the gameplay wise. The adventure puzzle stuff was fairly straightforward. Just find item that is not really a key, but well, it doesn't look like a key, but it really is, and use it in the right place to solve the puzzle and go to the next room and do it again. Yeah, it was a couple of hours. It was okay. Yeah, if anything that I've talked about with how the game looks and sounds has appealed to you, you'll probably enjoy it. But yeah, that's about all I found to really love about it, honestly. Yeah.
Holy crap, IP freely. I've forgotten all about these things.
Yeah, I was listening, but I was also looking up Odd Bods. And,
I know.
Oh my god,
they made a gobbledydock Odd Bod.
A hoozily what?
A gobbledydock. The gobbledock.
Is that a word?
How old am I? Oh my god. He's come back in ads. He was like this mascot for Smith's Chips.
Oh, like that little alien goblin. Jeez. Yeah. Oh, I hated that thing. It gave me nightmares.
It's called the gobbledock.
Well, speaking of weird animals and things.
Oh, they had the heat sensitive ones. You'd heat it up and it'd reveal a panel.
Yeah, that's
okay.
It.
Speaking of gross, and which is splatting all over the place. Sorry.
Oh yeah, that's kind of related to Bulb Boy. Yeah, Splatoon 2, that came out and is sort of the most interesting thing that I've been playing on a Nintendo platform.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about
while.
It. Come on, let's just wrap the podcast up.
I mean, it's just Splatoon 1 again. Gosh, why'd they make us buy this whole game again?
Oh, man, don't.
Troy's
about
to
explode.
Might trigger a response. I guess, Troy, you're probably the most qualified to talk about it. Did you want to take the lead?
Yeah. I love it because it's pretty much more Splatoon.
Cool.
Like, that does sound very, that's where the conversation stops, but it really is. Like, Nintendo have gone, this game is good. People like this game.
Let's do more of this game.
Yeah, let's just keep all the good bits, polish the less than good bits, keep some of the bad online things, like
yeah.
you can't lobby up with friends.
Mm-hmm.
That really irks me. And people are going, oh, but it'll be imbalanced. And it's like, you can join on friends anyway. Just let us do it before finding a match.
Yep, that would be real good. Like, you can kind of, in a way, do it. Like, if you happen to join someone while they're also waiting for a game, like in the lobby, then you might get lucky. But yeah, it would be nice if there was a way to explicitly say, I want to play with these two people, find me a fourth.
Yeah, and it doesn't do that. It doesn't in every other game mode but regular battle, and that really irks me.
Although I don't think you can do it in ranked, from what I understand. I asked around.
No, ranked
Twitter,
is solo. League is pretty much the group ranked battle now.
Okay.
Which it was squad battle before.
Yeah, okay, so that's basically squad battle.
They just separated it into its own thing and added a lot of features. I played some today, and holy crap, I do not like it.
Really?
Well, it's not a fault of the game, it's a fault of the players who are really competitive and start spawn camping, and that's not fun to deal with.
I see. That's a bummer.
The thing that I'm finding it really annoying is a lot of games I'm in, I see like, oh, hey, we're doing really well, and then it comes to the end results, and I'm like, oh, one of their guys did literally nothing, so they must have dropped before the game started. Or
yeah, like, I've seen that a couple of times.
And it's so annoying, and it's like, you know, you could be on a good streak of, like, you know, winning three or four matches in a row, and then, that's kind of shit. And that's just sort of screwed your fresh rating over and all that. But other than that, I haven't, you know, I haven't really played. If I see a friend online, I'll try and join their game, but I haven't had any problems online.
That's one thing I will say about the online service, is it's nice that how easy it is to join arbitrarily just a game that someone else is in. Like, you don't have to set anything up ahead of time. I can just say, like, oh, hey, Troy's playing. Let me click his name. Oh, I'm in his game now. Awesome.
Yeah, I like that, but it would be great. There are so many times in the Discord where, like, let's play, and then they'll join on someone who just joined a match and was the last person, so the match starts and they have to wait 3 minutes,
and then
nobody leaves.
Drops. Yeah,
yeah. We've had multiple cases of just people waiting for three matches.
It seems very much geared towards people who want to play now, and just if they see a friend on there, convenient, awesome. But it doesn't really, it's not really conducive to any sort of organized, cool, we're all going to get on and start playing at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. But we had an awesome night the other night where there were 8 of us in the voice chat.
Oh, yeah.
And we're all in the same game.
Oh, wow. That's good. And it's probably a better experience than the actual voice chat.
When you say voice chat, were you using the Discord chat or the official Nintendo Splatoon voice chat app?
We were using the Discord.
Why were you not using the official Nintendo voice chat app?
Because it doesn't let you for regular play.
Really?
No.
I didn't know that. That's weird.
You can use it for private battles, league battles, and salmon run. And you have to create the lobby in-game, and then people join via that.
Ugh. Okay. I didn't even know about that. That's
this whole
nobody bothered.
This whole app is just a nightmare. I mean, you know, we're talking about
the whole app.
Yeah.
The voice chat part is.
Mm.
But I mean, that
the stat
the
tracking
prime...
part. Sure, but the stat tracking part more than makes up for it in terms of I'm using it.
Honestly, yeah. If they took out the voice chat stuff entirely, like, I'm not going to use it. It wasn't in the first game. I wouldn't care at all if it wasn't there. I would be really happy if this was just a stat tracking app, kind of like the Destiny companion app is a weird comparison, but I think kind of works.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing.
Just for other stuff, like as you're saying before, Stephen, like buying clothes through it, or just seeing what maps are currently in rotation. I like the idea of that, and like, you know, something like this for arms. Just I don't know what they would do for arms other than just like, oh, these are the characters that are having the most wins at the moment, or you know.
Yeah, I guess Splatoon has a bit more of a like meta online game than ARMS does. Like, there's events and map rotations and equipment to buy and all that stuff that sort of goes around the game, whereas ARMS, I don't think they could show much beyond, as you're saying, sort of your stats or just general stats that aren't really interesting but not really game-changing.
So you're a big fighting game fan, right?
I mean, I've always sort
of got the impression of that. And, you know, there are, like, tiers of characters. Like, for some way, people can work out this character's winning the most, whereas this character's losing the most. So you sort of know which is... It's something like that for ARMS, just to say, hey, look, in the last week, Mechanica has won, you know, is the highest percent of wins out of all the games played online sort of thing or whatever. But you know, like the whole idea of this app, there is potential in it, but just as a voice chat, no. I mean, you're in an era where there's Discord. Why do we need to... And I get, you know, they wanted to... You know, the reason you've got that splitter is so it sort of filters out... It filters out the game noise from... Yeah. I get what they're doing, but they made it needlessly complicated.
Yeah, like every other machine can do this. You plug a wire into your controller and your voice comes through there. And if you want, the game can come through there as well. And you can do like a split of which volume is louder. But this is just so needlessly complicated. I can imagine there would be lots of people, I guess, especially kids who might be playing Splatoon because sort of demographically, I believe it skews that way. I might be wrong, but I think it does. But yeah, like I imagine all these people that wouldn't necessarily have a phone and they just can't voice chat with their friends with Splatoon.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems annoying and weird and very Nintendo.
The voice chat part just does not seem finished or even well thought out.
I think the whole app seems very minimal.
I think it is It is definitely Nintendo. You know, they march to the beat of their own drum, and that sometimes that does work really well, but there's other times like, you know, like the original friend code situation on the Wii, why people shudder when they hear the word friend code, because it's like, oh, I'm going to have to enter one for every game, where it's like, no, it's just one for your whole system, so it's fine now, but it's like that bad connotation from back in the Wii days.
I think the issue is that Nintendo marching to the beat of their own drum in the last 6 months has meant release the bare minimum and we'll fix it later, but the bare minimum's kind of shitty.
And they don't have any communication of what they're actually working on.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole, you know, getting stuff and iterating on it quickly. The way to make that work is actually telling people what's coming next, and we don't have any idea of that. Like, as you were saying, stuff is really cool, though, but it's just not much there.
Even the larger narrative of the Switch in general is it's like this UI feels really undercooked, and there's no video apps, and there's no, you know, it's great, guys, but is this stuff coming? You haven't really said yes or no. Can we just, if you just say yes, that's fine, but we just want to know.
We should probably jump back to Splatoon. I just realized we've gone way off. I thought it would be worthwhile bringing up... that's all right. I thought it would be worthwhile bringing up Salmon Run, because I've been having a lot of fun in that mode.
Yeah, it gets hard really quickly, though.
Yeah, like sometimes it seems kind of arbitrary occasionally where I'll just be going super well for a while and then suddenly like, hey, here's three salmon bosses all at once. And it's like, oh, God, what am I doing? I'm dead. Help. But yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, basically, I guess it's kind of like a horde mode in Splatoon would be the best way to describe it.
Yeah, horde mode co-op.
So you get four people, and if you don't have four friends, like you can just join up with however many friends you have and then recruit freelancers for everything else, which is really, that works ridiculously well, super quickly in my experience. And yeah, you just go around and you splat regular salmon, and then there are these big boss ones that appear every now and then, which need a specific strategy to take down. Once you've destroyed them, they explode into three golden eggs, and you have to take those golden eggs back to base to store them, and that's what your actual score is based on, and you have to get a certain minimum to pass, and if you get more, then you get a bonus with the company that you're working for. And it's just really, really good fun. I found even with people that I'm not necessarily talking with, that everyone seems to be pretty good at staying on task and stuff, but when you're talking with people as well, it's really just a really fun thing to play.
Yeah, it's a good palate cleanser.
Yeah, absolutely. Like when you've just been playing turf for ages and they're just like, cool, let's go into Salmon Run. And it's the same game, but different objective, which is refreshing.
Can you play it single player or not?
No, I think you can. I don't know how.
I think you can play it. You can play it without necessarily recruiting anyone, but I think you would have to fill the rest of your slots with freelancers.
Okay.
Yeah, but you can't play single player unless people drop out. It doesn't kick you out, apparently.
Yeah, I've noticed that people have dropped out during those games, and you just kind of have to push on with three people, which sometimes gets difficult.
Yeah, we had one where two people disconnected, like, after the second wave.
Oh.
So there were just two of us
against for the last final wave.
And I think it was like 150%, so it was...
Eek.
Yeah, we didn't do very well.
I haven't touched Salmon. I mean, outside of the training bit, I haven't really gone into it.
Well, next session comes around, we should play.
Yeah. Okay, look out for the invitation coming up on your phone notification screen.
So I got to say, like, I enjoyed Splatoon on the Wii U, but after a while I just never went back to it. But then, and I was sort of like a bit apprehensive about this. I'm like, oh yeah, it's just going to be Splatoon again. But then I'm playing, I'm like, oh yeah, it's Splatoon. It's still fun. And I'm just like, can't get over just like how much fun I'm having playing it. To the point, I'm actually, during my breaks at work, I'm tethering my gamepad up to my phone for just to play that online, just to get a couple of rounds in.
Wow, dedication.
Which and I've got like a data tracker on my phone, so I can know how much data is being used. And each round only uses up 10 megabytes.
Okay, which,
that's all right.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is okay, cool. This is completely doable to just play Splatoon online while I'm out and about.
Yeah,
this
as long as perfect. Your mobile is giving you like good enough pings and stuff, then yeah, it's probably fine.
This is what, I mean, I'm with Telstra, and for whatever everyone wants to say about Telstra, they do have the best mobile network in Australia. And it's just, yeah, it works fine, and I've had no problems with it. The biggest problem is sometimes trying to set up the hotspot on my phone can be a bit of a pain, because...
Does
that happen to everyone?
Yeah, it's a bit weird. Okay. I mean, you're on an iPhone, I'm on an iPhone. I don't know how it is on Android, but iPhones are a bit usually fine, but can be a little bit weird with turning off the hotspot if you don't connect like immediately. It's like, got to save battery.
But yeah, other than that, I've had no problems playing online, out and about with it. And also, like, I've finally gotten a weapon now, I think, that's clicked with me. Like, before I just used to use the aero spray.
Like the standard blastery, not blaster, that's an actual thing.
It's like the silver one. You know that silver gun you see people going around with sometimes?
Kind
Troy, of. Troy, you know all the names. Is it aerospray?
The silver one?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Aerospray so MG?
Yeah, so I actually haven't unlocked that yet, but that used to be the one I've used all the time. But now I've started using rollers.
And I really got into bastard. Them.
Yeah, but it's you know, and especially while I'm out and about, I don't have access to my the Pro Controller, so I'm just using the Joy-Cons, which can make turning and jumping a bit hard. But then I've gone into the Octobrush, and I'm just finding how ungodly amazing that is.
Yeah, I never got the hang of the Octobrush. I've kind of had fun with rollers, but the brush has never quite gelled with me for some reason. But I'm glad you found a weapon you like.
I found it sort of like, and you know, you'll see all the really hardcore, you know, when like a Japanese person using it, and it's like they'll be jumping and spraying. Like jumping.
I like how you assume because they're Japanese, they're very good at Splatoon.
They are. I was playing a game the other night, and then I'm like, all seven of those names are Japanese. I'm fucked right now.
Fair enough.
I'm not going to have a good time. Well, although, what I do love about Splatoon is even when I'm losing, I'm usually having a good time. It's like someone shoots me and I'm sort of more laughing off, for Christ's sake, okay, cool. I'm just going to get back in and, you know.
I think you bring up a good point, though. I think for me, the point where you start enjoying Splatoon is where you find a weapon that gels with how you enjoy playing. And once you've found that, it's like, yeah, this is clicked. I like this video game now. Cool. Anything more to bring up? Anybody?
Hero mode.
Oh, yeah. What is that? I have no idea. Please tell me.
It's a single-player story mode, basically.
Ah.
This time around, it's got levels for 9 different weapons.
Okay.
So in the first game, you could only play other weapons in single player if you had the amiibo. This time around, it's like properly baked in.
Okay, cool, cool.
It's decent. I still think that the first game's single player mode was better, but this one was still pretty good, and the final boss is... It ends on a bang.
Okay.
It's pretty awesome.
Is it worth playing, you reckon?
Oh. Definitely, yeah.
Is it as good as the final boss from the first game?
It's different.
Okay.
They're not really comparable. It's just, I'd probably say the final boss in the first game is better, but the cinematic kind of feel to the second game's final boss is a lot better.
Because they've gone, by the looks of it, pretty deep with the story about Callie and Mary.
Not really. It's always fairly shallow.
Well, you know, you got to swim in the shallows or something. but, you know, I really liked the story mode in the first one. Even just trying to find the... Because you'd have to find where the sort of... the stages were hidden in the overworld.
Yeah, and the second one definitely ups that.
Okay. I look forward to getting around to that. I've just got other single-player stuff I'm working on at the moment, whereas Splatoon's like my multiplayer thing.
Yeah, it's definitely worth playing, though. It gives you a feel for a lot of different weapons and what they can do. And yeah.
Cool.
Would you say, so Troy, you're our Splatoon expert. Better or worse? Mm-hmm. Would you say you're probably going to enjoy this more in the long run than Splatoon 1?
Yeah, but that's more because I've got people to play with now.
Okay.
Yeah, I know playing it, I feel like they're hard to compare. Like, if Splatoon 1 was what was on the Switch, I'd probably be enjoying it just as much. But I don't know, it's nice. This has Salmon Run, which is a very cool thing, and new weapons, new maps. It's just more Splatoon. There's our thesis statement and our conclusion. It's more Splatoon.
Pretty much. It's more of the same, and that's always a good thing.
Cool.
When it's a good thing to begin with.
And we must bring a good thing to an end, because that will be the end of the podcast for today, I think. So, yeah, one thing I'll mention on the site, because it's a bit time sensitive, and if you don't know about it, you might potentially be interested. You've probably heard there's the Zelda Symphony of the Goddesses symphony concert presentation, performance, whatever you call it, I'm not quite sure. Yeah, that's happening in Perth and Melbourne and somewhere else.
Singapore,
yep.
And Auckland.
But yeah, if you are interested in that, we have some VIP tickets to be won, which include...
Probably not for the Singapore event, I'll just put it out there.
Yeah, maybe not for that, but it's a VIP... VIP experience, which includes really good seats, a meet and greet with the producer and the conductor, and a tour backstage, access to the rehearsal, apparently, and, poster, a lanyard that shows that you're a cool VIP that you can hold on to forever. So that's a really cool prize. And there's a competition that ends very soon on the 31st of July, being Monday next week when this episode goes up. If you want to win that, go to... Vooks.net, books with a but with a V, and the competition should be on the front page. And you need to take your favorite treasure, not necessarily Zelda related, I don't think, but just a treasure that you hide in an unusual place. Take a photo of it, send it through, and that's your entry to the competition. If you want to go to the Zelda thingy and have a cool, fun VIP experience, do that, because you might win, maybe. So that's a cool thing. If you go into the Perth one, you might see Daniel and I there, I assume. So there's that. And also, anything else?
Our Twitters?
Yes. So yeah, and if you're interested in following any of us on the internet, we're all about all the social bits and bobs. You can follow me. I'm at Stephen Impson on all the things. You can follow Daniel at WorthNintendo. You can follow Troy at StewReview, and follow the site on vooks.net. That's VOOKSDOTNET. Yeah, so that has been the Vookcast for this period of time. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, and yeah, we'll see you next time. Hooroo.
Peace out.
Bye.
I loved you all.